The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
Wrestling to the Max. SmackDown. Review.
Hello and welcome to the Wrestling to the Max WWE SmackDown Live review for July 11, 2017. And I am your host, Sean Garmer. And with me today is not Paul Leeser or even Gary Vaughn. It's Wrestling on Wraps, Harry Broadhurst. How are you?
I'm good, Sean. How about yourself?
Doing okay. Just ready to talk some SmackDown Live here. I will be honest that I missed the first 15 minutes of SmackDown as I would my PS view was being weird, and yeah. So when I turned it on, AJ was already throwing Rusev out of the ring, and they were basically setting up for the tag match that was set up for the main event. So basically, AJ Styles comes out because he won the championship at MSG. Of course, if you are a fan of the internet, you know that already. If not, this was a new thing for you, and that was pretty cool for him to be able to win a title at MSG. And he called himself an upgrade over Kevin Owens. Saying that he it's all about what the U.S. title is and represents. The U.S. champion used to be a guy that takes on all comers in a U.S. Open challenge, and he wants to bring that back, a la John Cena. That the title has been overlooked since Kevin Owens has had it. And if anybody disagrees, tonight is your lucky night. And so here comes John Cena. And so Cena asks, If Styles is really sure about this open challenge thing, and Cena accepts for the open challenge. However, you knew that this was not going to go down without a hitch because Kevin Owens was the former champion. Come on now. This guy is not going to be okay with just stepping out of the picture. We know how this man operates. And so he talks about being the rightful holder of the title, that people want to see him holding it again. No one missed John Cena, and that he doesn't deserve the title shot anyway. He basically just wants Cena to go away. Rusev attacks, then everybody just gets in it. AJ removes Rusev out of the ring, pop-up powerbomb, and basically we get your Teddy Long special to main event this show here. And basically, I thought it was your standard tag match that works in building up John Cena Rusev that we already knew was established as the flag match or battleground. And AJ and Cena, or AJ and Kevin Owens, which we know they were going to have that rematch because rematch clause. But yeah, AJ and Cena win after Cena hits the A on Owens. Rusev got a nasty super kick in here as well. But yeah, what did you think of the whole main event start and angle here?
I like the tease between Styles and Cena because of the overt history that they've had over the course of the last year. The fact that Styles basically made his name in the WWE at Cena's expense, and then Cena was calling him out on it by saying that U.S. title challenge is open to anybody except me, right? Because the last time we weren't in the ring together, I took your title. And then So I like the fact that they paid homage to that, and I like the callback there. And I honestly would not be opposed if Cena, if Styles is able to retain the U.S. title at Battleground against Owens, and Cena and Rusev allow Rusev to move as far away as humanly possible from Cena because it worked out so well for him the first time.
Right. Yeah.
I wouldn't be opposed to seeing Styles and Cena for the U.S. title at SummerSlam. As far as tonight's main event match goes, kind of telling what they think of Kevin Owens when he's the one eating the fall in this contest. Like, I get that Rusev just came back, and you don't want to have Rusev get pinned here, but at the same time, there's something to be said for maybe the bad guys taking a walk and saving face to build up more tension going into your pay-per-view matches rather than giving away a clean finish on one of them right here on a live television episode.
I would agree with you there. It seems like an unnecessary pinfall for Kevin Owens. But I think they kind of just... you know, they're so weird sometimes about... Sometimes they really feel like it's a big deal if that person takes a loss. Then it's like you'll see that person take a loss and it's no big deal. So it's the whole inconsistency sometimes with WWE that is infuriating.
Yeah, compare and contrast how many pinfalls Kevin Owens has eaten while he's been the U.S. champion and how many pinfalls Neville has eaten while he's been the Cruiserweight champion. It's ridiculous. Owens is losing television matches left and right. I think Corey Graves at 205 Live, and we'll talk more about this in the 205 Live review, Corey Graves basically says that Tozawa is the first person to pin Neville in a match in, like, months.
Because they're booking, like, the Cruiserweight championship more like, you know, old school style, where if you beat the champion, that means you're getting a title shot. It means something if he loses. But also, Neville is going through the other unworthy 205 Live guys, and only the worthy guys are the ones that get to really do anything with him. So, you know, I think that's a little bit different than Kevin Owens, where he's kind of where he is. And he's been Universal Champion before. He's been all over the map. So I think they kind of feel like, he loses is not a really big deal, which I understand that point. But he's also building up to a championship match. Like, I don't think you want to make him look weak before you get there. But, you know.
Kind of par for the course when it comes to Owens' booking in the WWE, though.
Right. Exactly. So from here, we'll just start with the next thing in line, which is Jinder Mahal, and they'd announced this, I think, before the show. Jinder Mahal taking on Ty Dillinger as another sort of standard match here to get the champion a win. You know, I just feel like I hate this because, like, Ty Dillinger really isn't on TV that much, other than you're doing a commercial with Sami Zayn. And then, you know, if the crowd loves him, you could really be pushing Ty Dillinger, but you use him as a jobber, or a guy that's just never on. I mean, hell, him and Sami could be a great tag team if they want. It's not like this SmackDown's not, you know, in need of tag teams. I mean, I know Sami Zayn's doing that feud with Mike and Maria right now, but I'm just saying, like, I get it, great job for keeping Mahal strong and all that stuff, but just I hate this for Ty.
I feel like Dillinger's day will come, though, and I don't think that this is his time yet. I understand that they called him up right after WrestleMania, and with the work that he's been putting in NXT over the course of the last calendar year, it's a deserved call-up. But that being said, whereas SmackDown is the land of opportunity, his opportunity is just not yet. It will come, though. I feel like if Styles does get past Owens at Battleground, I feel like Ty would be a perfect candidate to accept the U.S. Open Challenge. And he would be somebody that they could make with AJ Styles by having a really good match or even having him knock AJ off for the title.
Yeah, and we've seen AJ do that a lot, where he has matches with a guy to kind of test where he is, and he really put over Chad Gable, which I really appreciated they do that with some guys, and some guys they just don't at all. Like, I thought, as much as you hate the Miz and Ambrose feud, Miz actually putting Ambrose over as the toughest guy he's ever wrestled, I think did a lot for making you feel like that feud mattered to the Miz instead of just, oh, it's a throwaway guy that I know I can beat and who cares. It's all about how you treat the person you're wrestling, and I feel like Ty would, like you're saying, definitely benefit from that. I'd like to see the match. You know it would be really good, and you know that AJ would be giving him some respect. So, look, I get it. Jinder Mahal needs to win. He needs to look strong. I am totally okay with that. I thought he actually did. He didn't do anything special in the promo, but the fans were responding, so that's positive. And I'm excited to see this Punjabi Prison match be back, because this is the first time it's being wrestled where it's not these big guys wrestling. It's, you know, your typical wrestler build. You're not having these big, you know, not having Big Show or Carly or Undertaker having to wrestle in this monstrosity. You're having guys that can kind of move around. So I'd like to see how that's going to work with this setup.
A couple of things to touch on with what you just said. First, in regard to the Ty Dillinger, AJ Styles, U.S. title open challenge that we were banting about there, I think that Styles would be an excellent way to judge where exactly at these people are in the overall scheme of their careers when it comes into getting into the ring with Styles and challenging here, much the same way you were able to tell where people were in regards to the scheme of their careers when they got into the ring with Cena. You knew that Cesaro had arrived. You knew that Neville had arrived when he got his opportunity. You knew that Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens were going to be forces in the WWE because of the way they handled themselves in the U.S. title open challenge. And I feel like AJ Styles could do the similar thing for people like Mojo Rawley, for people like Ty Dillinger, for people like a Zack Ryder going forward. I mean, Ryder even had a similar experience with Cena as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, well, turned out badly for him.
But there are opportunities there with the U.S. title open challenge that could be used to make people that are in the lower mid-card to just general mid-card area of SmackDown right now. As far as the people responding to Jinder Mahal, yeah, say what you will about his in-ring work, because let's be honest, he's not the greatest worker that they have on the brand. That being said, he may be the biggest heat drawer on SmackDown right now, and that says something when you consider that 2 years ago he was a part of a sham group known as 3MB who was doing both jack and crap on a consistent basis.
Yeah, you know, I think, look, he's not lighting the world on fire here as far as what he's saying. He's not. I do appreciate that he's not saying like, his is a little bit different than Rusev, right? He's still attacking Americans for this or whatever, but he's also putting over how smart he is, like the Indian people. You know, he's not. I don't know exactly, I think, the words to use here, but it's different than your typical foreign heel guy, for me anyway.
Have you ever seen any of the translations of what he said when he talks in Hindi?
I've seen one. It wasn't anything too special.
But he's basically cutting babyface promos in Hindi, whereas he's cutting heel promos in English.
But in Hindi, he's going to be cheered no matter what.
Punjab, excuse me.
Yeah, Punjab.
But my thought process to that is it reminds me similar to how they used to do with Bret Hart back in 1997, where if the shows were in America, Hart would cut anti-USA promos. Where if the shows were in Canada, he would cut pro-Canada promos. It's that straddling of the line between the two sides of the character there, and I appreciate that they're allowing him to have that kind of shade of gray and not just having him be a generic "I hate America" heel.
I agree with that, but we also got to understand they're trying to appeal to the Indian audience, so they're not going to have him say anything terrible in Punjab because you're trying to make sure people watch the show. So, you know, but again, it goes back to that whole. In India, he's going to be cheered because they don't have any other Indian talent. So,
well, it is none what it outside is. Of Great Khali.
Right. I mean, well,
nobody really that you can speak. nobody that you can really speak of from WWE history other than Kali and maybe Tiger Ali Singh.
Yeah, true. But, yeah, I mean, the Wolf, are you excited to see the Punjabi Prison match back, or are you kind of like a lot of people where it's just like, this again?
I agree with you in the fact that it's nice to have two guys that could probably work to benefit the match inside of there. That being said, if history's any indication, we're looking at a complete and total cluster fudgesicle. I also question the desire of Mahal to put them inside of a match where the Singh brothers theoretically can't get involved. It doesn't really behoove the Mahal character when it was the distractions by Samir and...
It's not like Michelle. He tells them to get involved, though, right? They get involved on their own.
Okay, theoretically, yes, but you have to think that he's behind their involvement.
Right, but I think it's more of like, you know, he's the modern day Maharaja. We got to protect our king or whatever instead of.
I agree.
Go, servants, do my bidding, you know, kind of thing.
I think that would be hilarious, though, if one of these times somebody like super huge threatened Mahal and Mahal was like, Samir, Sunil, get him.
Let's do it. Let's make that happen. One show. We need to. You know, so we also have, of course, continuing the feud with the New Day and the Usos for the tag titles here. You have Xavier Woods and Jey Uso. This was fine. It wasn't anything knocking your socks off here.
It was
there. I did like the finish.
Oh, no. Xavier's elbow drop is very impressive, but at the same time, I don't think Xavier's going to be the one in the tag team match at Battleground, so it's kind of all for naught.
I do like that he's getting a match, you know. Mm. So
he was the most impressive member of New Day in the rap battle last week. I will give him that.
That he was, on both ends, receiving and giving. So...
There's a joke about Xavier Woods giving something that I'm just not going to make right here for the overall sake of the show.
Yeah, I think there was enough of that on that.
Speaking of which, that being in San Antonio tonight, did you see how ridiculous AEP has gotten? Oh my God, somebody get that dude a mental evaluation, please.
Well.
You know.
Yeah. You know. Speaking of, you know, Shane McMahon is booking something for the women. So guess what we're going to have, people? A five-way match to determine who is the number one contender to face Naomi at SummerSlam. Guys, we can do something besides have all the women in one match. To determine who's the number one contender. Does this have to happen every time? I mean, come on.
Here's my question. Where does this leave Naomi for the pay-per-view? Doing commentary? Big frickin' whoop. You're basically hurting your SmackDown Women's Division. Look, I'm going to be the first person to admit I am not the biggest fan of Naomi. I don't think she's that great as an in-ring performer. That being said, she is arguably the most athletic diva on the roster right now. She's coming into her own as champion. By denying her the opportunity to perform for a pay-per-view audience, you're doing your entire women's division.
Maybe she does an open challenge and somebody shows up or something. I don't know.
Okay, but who? There's no way.
They could just have one of the ones that they've announced for the Mae Young Classic show up or something. I don't know. I mean, it doesn't have to be like Asuka or something. That'd be a waste, obviously, but...
If Asuka happens, it's not happening until after SummerSlam.
Right. I'm just saying. They could easily hype up that Naomi's doing an open challenge, and we have confirmed it's going to be somebody you're going to see later in the Mae Young Classic. Hype it up like that. Is this You know, you can get people buzzing as to who it could be. You know, are you going to get Kairi Sane? Are you going to get Toni Storm? I mean, who is it going to be? So, but well, that would probably require too much thought from WWE, so it's not going to happen. But
well, we know one person it won't be. Get well soon, Nixon Newell.
Yeah, that sucks. Torn ACLs are horrible.
I think you could do something like that, but then I worry that you're setting kind of the expectation for that woman to do really, really well in the Mae Young Classic. You're kind of setting up preconceptions as far as performance goes for the Mae Young Classic by having it be one of them. I could see it being one of the lesser known NXT women getting the opportunity against Naomi. Maybe somebody like Liv Morgan.
They've had Billie Kay show up and do something like that before. So, I mean, you could have Peyton Royce show up and do it. Or
I would be totally behind the iconic duo coming to the SmackDown Women's Division. I'm a huge fan of both ladies. Obviously, I'm a little more biased towards Billie than I am Peyton, but I'm a big fan of both ladies.
I think Peyton's actually the one that's proved a lot more than Billie Kay. On NXT. I mean, I'm not talking about their previous work outside of NXT. But
when it comes to NXT, Billie's a better worker, Peyton's a better talker.
Yeah, she has the better character.
Agreed.
So, I think that's what's going to show a lot more for Vince, obviously, is the can you get your character over, the work is going to come. And it's just like right now, the baseline for you're going to get good work almost out of anybody is like almost a given at this point. So the character thing is really what puts you over at the end of the day. But I just wish they would come up with other things other than...
Well, let me ask you if we're going to talk about the Carmella thing that happened in this segment as well.
Yeah, the her doing the attorney thing and then Shane ripping it up to bring back Ellsworth. I thought this was funny.
I felt it was a waste. I felt like it was kind of a situation that if something like this would have happened on Raw, we would have been complaining about it. Especially given the fact that it used to be Stephanie being the one to do
this. But like, why complain about it? I think that's what Carmella's been about. Like, that she wants Ellsworth there, and Shane's just like, I'm not having none of that. And he didn't have to demean her with it. He just said no. Like, he didn't, emasculate the female equivalent like Stephanie would. He just said, I don't care what your attorney has to say, I'm Shane McMahon, and whatever.
At the same time, if she's not going to have to wrestle at the pay-per-view, it kind of doesn't make a bit of difference anyway.
Right, but still, it's the whole point of just... Ellsworth could create a distraction if she cashes in. Ellsworth could help Carmella in other ways. Just, it's that whole point of taking him away just to bother, just to stick it to her or whatever, like Brian was doing. And I think it's good for Carmella. It gives her an opportunity for her to grow without him there. But obviously he makes her better. So that's the trade-off you get. Like, they have a month to see if they can do something with Carmella by herself. And if not, then, it proves that you need to have Ellsworth there. I'm sure Ellsworth gets a break and doing some indies, or I don't know what he's doing. But Baron Corbin, he shows up and is interviewed about what's going on with him and Nakamura. He says he's afraid that he might hurt Nakamura, and he's going to teach Nakamura a lesson. Nakamura wants revenge on Corbin for attacking him and all that stuff. So they have a match that doesn't even start. They brawl. Corbin just walks off. I'm fine with this. You don't need to be wasting a bunch of Nakamura matches on TV. I know they basically redid the rematch with Dolph on TV, and it was better than the pay-per-view. But I'm all for treating him like a big star, and he doesn't wrestle all the time, just like on NXT. And I appreciate that they at least got that right, where it's like, he's going to become a regular WWE guy in some respects, like doing a ladder match. And then in other respects, we're still going to treat him like a star.
The only thing I found disappointing about this was the fact that they actually advertised it as a match and tried to make people believe that this was going to happen on SmackDown. I didn't buy for a single second that this was ever going to happen on SmackDown. I always thought that this was going to end up being a match at the Battleground pay-per-view. And I agree with you in that I think that Nakamura should be kept to a special attraction for SmackDown because he's one of the guys that's around on a consistent basis but still has that big fight feel.
Yeah,
especially against somebody like Baron Corbin, who's just now finding his way into the upper mid-card / main event scene on SmackDown.
Yeah, but I think, you know, again, when you have the Money in the Bank, you get a lot of leeway there because you're always a threat when you have that thing. So even if you're not going against the champion at that time or bothering the champion, when you're up against a guy like Nakamura, that he's got the star power, this helps Baron Corbin. It also helps Nakamura, too, because Corbin can do a lot of the talking for him. So, I appreciate this feud. And it goes off that big moment from Money in the Bank, and I like that they kept going with that.
Buy or sell, Corbin's the champion by the end of SummerSlam.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean,
depending on who Mahal's challenger is for SummerSlam will depend on whether or not Corbin comes out with the title, I think. But if the rumors are true and that they want to do Mahal and Cena, I don't see Cena leaving SummerSlam with the title when he has other obligations.
Yeah, that would be such a waste of his record-breaking reign, 1,000%
agree.
What a horrible way to have him break the record. Oh, he breaks it. Oh, he loses it. What a...
1,000% agree. We've talked... Me and Tony had this conversation in detail over on The Reaction before. 1,000% agree.
I mean, look, WWE is terrible at making history. So, you know, I would not put this across... I bet this has crossed Vince's mind. Of, let's have that history moment, and then bam, it's gone.
Yeah, but isn't that kind of like a gigantic FU to Flair?
I don't think he even cares about whether or not he cares about making those moments. And to him, that's a bigger moment of John Cena just broke the big old record, and then Baron Corbin stole it away. But, you know. I mean, obviously, the better thing would be like what happened with Charlotte, where you take it away from Cena before he can break the record. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, I could see Baron doing a Seth Rollins if, you know, both guys are injured or whatever, and Baron just comes in, does the end of days to one of them and pins him. That could happen, too.
I wouldn't entirely be surprised to see him cash in on Mahal either.
Yeah, I mean, he was playing around with that whenever when he first got it. So
that first SmackDown after Money in the Bank, if I'm not mistaken, when Mahal wrestled Mojo, I believe it was.
Yeah, and then he went on Talking Smack and went on a big thing about that. So,
well, I think on that episode of Talking Smack, if memory serves, wasn't Mahal the guest right before him?
Right,
and then,
yes.
Like, they had like a little stare down as Corbin was coming onto the set.
Right. I don't know if they dropped it so that it wouldn't be so obvious. That because they like to do that, they want to give you that element of surprise, which they should. I'm fine with that, but we'll see if it ramps up some more because Baron Corbin obviously has his eye on getting that title. That's what he's there for. And then you have the tag match that got set up when you had the multiple the Fatal 5-Way set up for the pay-per-view. Becky Lynch and Charlotte taking on Natalya and Tamina. I thought, again, this was just... Yeah, exactly what Harry's doing. Let me tell you, there was just nothing happening here.
Paint by numbers tag team match. Nobody gets anywhere. Tamina stands tall off of a lawn of distraction. So basically, what you're telling me is out of the five women in that match, the only one that's actually important is Lana. Good to know.
I just don't understand. Like, you had Lana get absolutely humiliated by Natalya. Or not Natalya. By Naomi. And then you're still trying to push her as something. Like, I get that she gets crowd reactions, but it's like, why go through the trouble and then... I don't know. If she was a heel, like Eva Marie, I would almost get... Like, she's a heel, but she gets face reactions. If she got the reactions that Eva Marie got, then I would kind of understand. But she's a heel getting face reactions.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think this was originally meant to be Eva Marie in this spot before she went and got herself released?
Yeah, you bet your bottom dollar they had Eva Marie being in a spot like this. And then Lana decided she wanted to make her own gimmick up on NXT. They told her that it was probably stupid for her to do the dancing thing. And they kind of just said, well, let's give you a kind of a hybrid of the Eva Marie and then your thing. And let's go with that.
I mean, her ring gear's been top-notch, but that's been about the only thing stand out about the gimmick.
The first match with Naomi was fine. Everything else was just...
No,
they
I agree.
Killed
me
her,
and Patrick,
so...
Me and Patrick were both pleasantly surprised by how the Money in the Bank match turned out, actually.
I mean, it was wrestling 101, work a body part and do what you gotta do, but, I mean...
And then you're having her get beaten in a minute and a half, and then 6 seconds, I believe, was the official bell-to-bell... Naomi's the match last week.
Terrible.
Sunset flip into the motorcycle clutch.
Perhaps maybe that's them trying to see if they can quiet the crowd down, because nobody really wants to, you know, you don't really want to cheer for somebody that's a big loser like that. Maybe it'll get the crowd to not give the big we want Lana chance and all that if she's...
See, I don't know if I agree with that, because we've seen that kind of blow up in their faces before where they've tried to de-push people and that's only responded in louder and louder crowd responses to them.
Well, they're obviously not de-pushing Lana because she's causing this the finish of this match. She's in the damn... You know, Charlotte freaking called her out. Like, why the hell is she in this match? Is she still in it? Like, you know? So, something's going on here. At least they recognize that she gets crowd attention, so she needs to be involved, but still, it really hurts Naomi that you had to have her go through that. Please at least let her have some kind of open challenge or something at the pay-per-view, because this is not good for her to just be there as champ and not really doing much with it. Maria still wanting an apology from Sami Zayn. And then Sami Zayn apologizes, actually. But he feels like they should be apologizing to him. Wondering if Mike actually wrestles here. And Maria slaps him. And then Mike comes and breaks a vase of flowers over his head. Maria tells... that's weird. It didn't drop him here. And then... Hold on. It's dropping him here on... you always gotta love when technical issues come up here. Okay. Oh boy. This is wonderful. I can't obviously pick him up on my phone because y'all aren't gonna hear that. So I'm gonna keep going here and hopefully this will fix itself. Okay, there it goes. You there?
Yes.
Okay. You have to love when Skype gives you technical issues. Always great. So, yeah, this whole thing with Sami Zayn and Maria and Mike continues. I'm fine with it. Short segment to keep the thing going.
I'm actually really interested in the match, and I'm curious as to how Mike Kanellis is going to be portrayed as an in-ring performer.
I mean, we've seen what he does, right?
He works a very prototypical WWE style, though. I think he'll fit in well.
Right.
I'm actually looking forward to him. I'll be entirely honest. I didn't care for the guy when I first saw him, but the more and more I saw of his work, the more and more he grew on me.
Yeah, I think he worked fine here, too. I don't have a problem with that. I think it's just, not going to be anything too special.
Not to mention, I also want to give him credit for his really well-done promo on Talking Smack last week.
I agree with that as well, even though I'm, vaguely remembering most of it. But
well, because Daniel Bryan actually asked him about the Mike Bennett thing, and he explains that he spent 15 years struggling to make a name for himself as Mike Bennett, and now with the power of love taking his beloved last name, he's able to make it to the biggest stage in our industry.
Very true. Somehow Vince is still snickering at that thought there. So Gary's favorite part of the show, because they had a Walker Texas Ranger theme for this, the sexy fashion Rangers. If you don't know, Gary is a huge Chuck Norris and Walker Texas Ranger fan. I love the fact that they had sort of a mock Walker Texas Ranger theme song, and Chuck Norris is here, sort of.
I appreciated the fact that they used 1994 Chuck Norris in the vignette.
Yes. That's
from
great,
the Built to Survivor Series 94. That taught me.
Fandango comes in riding a horse on a stick, and they sneak up on Zack Ryder and
Mojo.
I forgot that.
Oh no, it was Ryder. My mistake.
I was about to say.
Mojo came up.
Mojo comes in and goes, "What the hell did I just walk into?"
Yeah, because Breeze ends up tangled up in his own lasso. Make your own joke here, here, and here.
When the lasso was like it was a cables, right? It wasn't even a lasso.
Wait. Your big takeaway from this segment was the fact that it wasn't a lasso.
No, that's one of the other things that made me laugh was the fact that it wasn't a rope. It was a bunch of cables. And then, they accuse Ryder of attacking Breeze and wrecking their office and all this stuff. And then they realize that they need to get back to work after being angry at Mojo for eliminating them from last week's Battle Royal.
They tease a little bit of distinction between Ryder and Mojo here as well.
I like the fact that they've continued to do this throughout the weeks. Seems like Mojo's going to be the one to turn heel, though.
There's enough tag teams breaking up lately. I don't think Mojo has a place in the upper card right now. I think he's just fine in the tag division, because both tag divisions are looking kind of weak these days.
I think their point is, we already started the singles push with him. We're not going to stop it to start this tag team again. And
I mean, they do have the Andre Battle Royal invested in him. I mean, granted, how much has that meant to other people over the last couple of years?
It's meant something to Baron Corbin a little bit.
Well, yeah. He led him to a Money in the Bank contract. I don't somehow see Mojo getting a push on the level of Corbin, though.
We'll see. I don't think a lot of people said Baron Corbin is going to be something. They were calling him Mr. Boring. So, at least Mojo stays hyped,
Well, he don't get hyped.
So, and then the best thing is that someone ends up stealing Fandango's horse, and Tyler Breeze comes in and goes, "It was freaking ghost aliens." And then they KO any further because it's aliens. And there's going to be Fashion X-Files next week. Oh my god. Just these two need to have their 15 minutes. on the network every week, just or every 2 weeks. I don't care. Just give them a freaking network show. They deserve it at this point. Come on. Just come on already.
I think they should ask Zack Ryder what happens when you get over on your own volition. See how it works out for you.
This is not on their own volition. This is designed.
Oh, I sincerely doubt it was planned for them to be this popular before they started doing this on SmackDown now. Are they in New Mexico next week? Is that why they're doing like the whole aliens thing? Like, I feel that would be something they would pull if they were in like Roswell, New Mexico, or like Albuquerque or something.
They were maybe just in Phoenix, so
yeah, you think they'd be coming?
So I'm trying to look here while we're talking of where they're
you think
going.
They'd be heading south in order to head north for SummerSlam. Where's Battleground at? Do you know that?
Battleground is in Philadelphia.
Well, then they're definitely going to be making their way Midwest/North. Oh, that is right, because SmackDown the following weekend, not after Battleground, the one afterward is in Cleveland, and I might be going.
Let me see. Next week would be the 18th. Hold on, this is bad radio.
Bear with it, folks. Live radio, it happens.
Well, so anyway, that's the end of SmackDown. That's pretty much everything that was on the show this week. They are in Birmingham, Alabama.
You know what? They did actually say they were in Alabama next week, too. I completely forgot about it.
But yes. What do you think for the show overall? What's your rating here?
I gave Raw last night an 8. I'm giving tonight's episode of SmackDown a 5. This was actually a very disappointing effort, in my opinion. Raw was clearly the superior show this week.
Yeah, this kind of felt like a blah SmackDown. I give it a 5.5 because Fandango and Breeze get half a point by themselves. The rest of it's just a very flat show. None of the matches were really anything. The stuff that you progress was just the most lazy way to progress something. And yeah, this was totally a, you could skip this show and you don't really miss anything. Other than make sure you go watch the Fandango and Breeze segment on YouTube. But yes, just you will be fine if you don't watch the show. I hate saying that because I always enjoy SmackDown, but you could totally just move on and be fine.
Well, so, just remember, if the eyes of the Ranger are upon you, any wrong you do, he's going to see.
Well, hopefully the wrong that SmackDown pulled this week, when they have and this tends to happen, right? This is the lull before the go-home. So when they have the go-home next week, you'd hope that they are much more alert and happy to be doing this.
Well, so, Tony and I have kind of talked about that. I'm sorry, just real quick. Tony and I have also kind of talked about that, whereas sometimes when Raw has a long time to build between pay-per-views, there's usually one or two episodes of Raw that are complete for always. And obviously that curse hasn't abated SmackDown either.
Has not, and it was very apparent here. So, alright, so until next week when we're talking more SmackDown, hopefully you will join us then. Make sure that you check out everything on WTMNet.com, subscribe to that WTM Network, or just Wrestling to the Max. You get all of our Wrestling to the Max content, whether it's the Raw review, of course this review, the 205 Live review, we're about to do NXT, all the, you know, the G1's about to start, so Paul and I will be doing G1 reviews that will be standing up by themselves. And of course, you can always listen to Harry and Patrick on Sundays, whether they're doing, which this week, I mean, for Great Balls of Fire, they did not do a show, but They will be back with a regular episode. What are y'all doing for the show coming up here?
This particular Sunday, which happens to be my co-host's birthday, we are doing Progress Wrestling Chapter 36.
So there you go. UK wrestling fans, get ready for an awesome show.
Yeah, our very first venture into the UK wrestling scene. It's something that Patrick and I have wanted to do for a while, and we're starting with Progress here, and we eventually have plans to hit Rev Pro as well. So look forward to that in the future, too.
I will be looking forward to hearing it. I've been wanting to get into Progress for a while, just never know when to start, and then also deciding whether I want to add another subscription service to the amount that I already have. That's a heavy load. When you think about it, those things start to add up after a while.
Agreed.
So, all right. So you can either join us for 205 Live and make sure you listen to the Wrestling to the Max episode 255 Part 1. We talked about the Page and Patron thing, Austin Aries getting released. And, of course, that 255 Part 2 will be talking whatever else has been going on, as well as GFW, Impact, and the GFW Impact Wrestling Show, I should mention, and Lucha Underground and everything else. So, all right, we will see you later.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.